begin the current daven, Sechtes Baba Kama Dav Samach. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues quoting and explaining the halacha of our Mishnah of the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah opened up by saying that if someone sends an Eish, Piat Chershayt V'Katan, he's going to be Potter B'din the Adam and Chai B'din the Shemayim, because ultimately he's just a Grama. But as the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah, Shalach Biat Pikech, if he sends in the hand of a mentally competent person, so the person that he sent it with, it's his liability. He took the responsibility as the agent, and he's a mentally competent person, so therefore he has the responsibility. Now, Bechulu, etc., the Mishnah that goes on to say that it's the last person that was the final ingredient in making the fire a feasibility that's going to be liable. So let's say somebody brings the fire and then the wood. The one that brought the wood is the last guy, he's chayab. Someone brought the wood, then the fire. The guy who brought the fire is liable. Let's say the last guy was someone who blew the fire. So he was the one that made it into an entity of a mazik. So he's going to be liable. Now the Gemara says, Amr of Nachma Yitzchak, mandatoni libo le mishtabish. The one whose gears in the Mishnah is that, which the Mishnah says this concept of bo'achar v'liba, that if another guy comes and he's the one that blows the fire, Hamalabachayv, the one who blows it and flames up, is going to be liable. If that's the girsa that you have, that's not a mistake. Umandatani niba loy mishtabish. And if the girsa is not with a lamed but with a nun, that's also not a mistake. As the Gemara explains, mandatani liba loy mishtabish, the one who has the girsa in our Mishnah as we have it, that it's with a lamed, that's not a mistake. Tachsilik, it says a pasuk in Shemais, belabas ish, with the flame of the fire. So it makes sense to say that the third guy comes and he flames the fire, he turned it into an entity of a mazik, and therefore he's going to be chayef. Mandatani nibalei mishtabish. And according to the one that has the girsa with a nun, it's also not a mistake. Tachsilik, like it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, bayre niv savasayim, the one who creates the speech of the lips. And that is when a person speaks, his lips move, and wind, the ear comes out, that's related to the larynx, how a person speaks, but there's wind that's coming out, there, that's the term of niv, which is speech, which is related to the lips moving, which is that air is coming out. And therefore, it makes sense to say that when someone is blowing at the flame and flaming it, that would be through the movement of the lips, creating that wind coming out. Hence, it makes sense to say that not just with a lamed of flaming, but also with, through the mouth, when it's moving with air coming out, that is also the same concept of flaming a fire, and therefore it could be either one of those gisois. Now the Mishnah concluded, and let's say libasa haruach, let's say it wasn't any of the people that brought the fire or the wood, actually a wind came and blew it at the end, then kulam baturin, then they're all going to be exempt, because ultimately what made it into a mazik was neither one of them, it's the last entity, and the last entity was the wind, and therefore it wasn't any one of them. Now the Gemara says, tarabon ulan abraisa, liba v'libasa haruach. Let's say he was blowing. A guy was blowing, and the wind was blowing. So the Brisa explains, im yesh bilibuya kedei l'labaisa chayv. If with his own blowing, it would have flamed the fires and made it into a mazik, which would have damaged other people's things without the wind blowing, so then he's liable. V'imlav pata, but if not for the wind, just with his blowing, it wouldn't have become a mazik, it wouldn't have been something that could have gone out and destroyed other people's things, then he's going to be exempt. Now, in this price, the Gemara asks, Amai, why is that? Lahave kizayra, it should be like the malacha, one lama test malachas of Shabbos, which is called winnowing, which is v'ruach miseyasai, that the wind assists him in that malacha. We know that if a person throws up the grain that's together with the stalks that it grew with, to help it detach, you know, it's one of the processes of selecting, of getting the good from the bad, that he's going to be chai for malacha on Shabbos, even though it's without the wind, it wouldn't have happened. It's the wind that's helping him. When it throws up the grain, it just separates. So then why over here, when he's blowing and the wind is helping him, don't we say that it's the same thing, that he'll be liable, just like we find by the malacha of Zayra on Shabbos? So Amar Bai, he explains, Nacha Bai Eskina, what we're talking about over here in this case, is you're right. If he would be doing it and the wind would be assisting him, just like the malacha of Zayra, he would be chayav. But here is Tomah Kagoin Shaliba Mitzad Echad. The guy who was blowing the fire was blowing it from one side. And the wind was blowing from a different side, and therefore he didn't help the flaming, which ended up becoming a mazik, which the wind caused it, with his own blowing, because he was actually blowing in a different direction. And that's why, you're right, if it was blowing in the same direction that together they did it, yeah, then it would be chayiv, like the malacha was zayra. Rav Amma, he gives a second interpretation. He says, the Braisa is talking about where when this guy started blowing, there was no strong wind that was blowing at the same time. He was blowing with together what the regular wind was blowing at that time, and with that regular wind, it would not have flamed up. But then came along what's called a ruach she'ena metzuya, a very unexpected strong wind. V'libasa haruach beruach she'ena metzuya. And then the wind came with an unexpected strong wind, which that's something that he didn't and was not expected to entertain. So therefore, although yes, together with the wind, it ended up taking off, but that wasn't something that was part of what he had intended. In contrast to the malacha of Zayir on Shabbos, where it's enough to do the winnowing with a regular wind that there is, and that was what he intended for, and that's why you're going to be chayav for Zayir on Shabbos, in contrast over here, where what the type of wind that he was doing with and that he expected would not have made it into a flame, it rather was through a ruach, she'en metzuya. Reb Zayir Amar, he says a third interpretation. It says, kugain detzamra tzimuri, which that term tzamra tzimuri is like we find in Shabbos on Zayin and Alv, a terminology of ishta tzimirta, which means a term of heat, of hot, of warmth. So in other words, the way Reb Zayir is answering is that actually this guy who was Liba, who was blowing the wind, he actually didn't blow. It was just his breath. Like someone that heats up his hands in the cold winter by just breathing on it, which that's not qualified as a blowing. That would be something that would be considered like the Malach of Zayir if it was wind helping him. But here, it's not even like he really did any blowing. He was just the breath coming out, and that's why it doesn't qualify to be chayiv together with the wind. Rav Asher, he gives a fourth interpretation. He says, no, they're fundamentally different. Ki amrin in Zayir v'ruach mesiyate. When do we say this concept of when someone's winnowing and that it's together with the wind that he accomplishes this malacha and he's chayiv for it on Shabbos? Is hanamila in the Shabbos. That's regarding the laws of Shabbos. The malachas machsheves asur tayram. The uniqueness of the malacha on Shabbos is regarding what's called calculated activity, which is that his thought process was fulfilled because he wanted that this wind should assist him, and that was his objective, and he accomplished that together with the wind. Aval hacha grama ba'almahu, but here regards to the laws of damages, it's just an indirect cause. Grama b'nizakin pater, and the causation that's indirect by the laws of damages, a person is going to be exempt. So yes, you're right, the wind assisted him with his blowing. But that's still a grama. With his own blowing, it wouldn't have done something. It's only together with this ruach. So regarding the laws of Nizakin, he's going to be part. Regarding the laws of Shabbos, since it's Melech Smachsheves, and the wind was part and parcel of what he was trying to do, that's why he's going to be chayiv by the Melechas of Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with the theme of these Mishnayos regarding the mazik of Eish, again, which we said, Sherber, skip Mava, and Hever, which is fire. So the Mishnah says, Hashaleicha sabe'era, someone sends a fire, meaning to say he starts a fire which then goes out and carries out. V'achla eitzim oy avanim oy offer, and it consumes somebody's wood or somebody's stones or his earth. How do you consume earth? Is that it scorches the plowed field of his friend, which then ruins the ground, the earth. So chayiv, so the one who started the fire is going to be liable for those damages. So then, like it's the buzzing in Shemais. It says, ki seitze eish, when a person has a fire that goes out, umatzer kaitzim, that finds thorns, v'nechel gadish, and it eats the pile of grain, oy hakama, or the standing grain, which is still connected, oy hasada, or the field, which that connotes even a field itself, shalom yishal ma'aves ha'be'era, so the one who started the fire has to pay and compensate, even if it's offer, even if it's the guy's ground itself that was ruined by the fire, he has to pay for that. Now Amar Rava, Rava says, regarding this passage that we just quoted in the Mishnah, Lamali the Kasar Rachmana, why was it necessary to write Kaitzim, thorns, Gadish, the pile of grain, Kama, the standing grain, Vesada, and the field? So says the Gemara Tzrichi, they were all necessary. The Kasar Rachmana Kaitzim, had the Torah only written thorns, Havamina, Kaitzim, or the Chayav Rachmana, I would have thought that it's regarding thorns that the Torah holds the one who started the fire liable, from the Shrich Ish Gabayu, because it's very common to have fire by thorns. In other words, people are not careful to not have fire go to thorns. And actually, that's what it's ready for, because it's thorns, no one cares about it. So maybe there you would think to say, v'shchiach the pasha, it's common that a person would be negligent regarding someone else's thorns. And maybe there, that's where the Torah holds you liable, because you're negligent. But regarding a pile of grain where people are careful, they don't have fire to be common next to a pile of grain. And therefore, it's not common to say that if someone's fire ends up consuming someone else's pile of grain, that he was negligent. To the contrary, you would say that probably he was an einus. It was beyond his control that his fire consumed his friend's pile of grain. And therefore, emoloi. And therefore, I would say that, no, that he's not chayiv in such a situation, because it's not a negligence and it's an einus. That's why I have to say that there's a liability even for one's fire when it consumes his friend's gadish, his pile of grain. Now, because Rachman HaGadosh had the Torah only written the liability by his friend's pile of grain, you would say that it's only by the pile of grain that the Torah holds him liable. Because that's a great loss. A guy's whole granary that he was working on. But regarding thorns, which is a small amount of a loss, I would say that you're not even going to be liable. That's why I have to say kaitzim too. So those are the first two terms. What's the last two? So kamalamali, why does I have to mention the standing grain? So that the Gemara says, to tell you, ma kama bagalu, just like the standing grain is out in the open, that's how things grow on the field. Afkal bagalu, so too, the halacha is telling you that the liability of Eish, of the mazik of fire, is only for things that are open and revealed, but not things that are concealed. Now, the Gemara asks, however, Rabbi Yehuda, which this is a machlik is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan on the next daf and Samach Aleph and Beis, the Mechayiv Aniski Tam Beish, who he actually holds that there is a liability for the mazik of fire, even for something that's concealed. So kama lamali, so then what does the term kama, standing grain, have to teach me? Not teaching has to be revealed, because he holds even concealed yuchai. So according to Yehuda, the Gemara says, l'rab is called bali koimetz. It's coming to include for the liability of the mazik of eish, for anything that stands erect, like the standing grain, which is for living animals, or for trees. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, l'rab is called bali koimetz min alahu. Where do they know to include all standing things, if they really use the term of kaima, to say it has to be begala and not mechusa? So that the Gemara says, nafkaluhuma oi hakama. They learn that from the extra word oi, because it said, matzakaitzim and achal gadish. Why say oi hakama? The extra word oi comes to include this concept of anything that stands erect, like trees. Now, Rabbi Huda, the Gemara says, oi miboy lilachalik. He already knows the halacha from the term of kaima. So what does he use oi for? He says it's to differentiate, to tell us that the mazik of Eish is not only if you consume all those things, it's either or. It's any one of those things that it consumes you'll be liable for. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan, l'chalak min alahu, where do they know that you're not going to be liable only if you do all of them, and it's even if any one of them, if they use ay, not as to separate, but as to use as a drasha to include anything that has kaima, that's erect. So the Gemara says, nafluhu ma'ay hasada, because it says two times the word ay. It says ay hakama, oy hasada. From that oy, where they're not using for drasha, it's telling you that either or to differentiate. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda, he tells you, I did the custom Rachman oy hakama. Once the Torah had to say oy hakama, which again, that's to differentiate, it's a custom oy hasada. So therefore, it just kept the same uniformity when it said oy hasada. But again, the oy of hasada is not being used as a drasha. It's just keeping the pattern of oy hakama, which already that was differentiating. Whereas again, the Kondrabanan, that no, oy hasad is differentiating, and oy of oy hakama is coming to tell you the drasha of the rabbis called bali kama. So again, now we know why you need kama. So again, either because to tell us to exclude mechusa, or like Rabbi Yehuda, it's coming to say anything that has kama that stands up. So now regarding the fourth term, sadolamali, what does the Torah have to say regarding the field? So the Gemara says, Lasuye lichacha niro. It's coming to include if there's a plowed field that wasn't planted yet, where it's scorching the plowed field, which is the damage of the field itself, and v'sichsach avanav, and the scorching of the guy's rocks, which again, sichsach is the terminology that applies by rocks, and lichacha applies to other things, but it's the same idea that it scorches it. So the Gemara asks, v'lichta brechman asada. So then that's the biggest chiddush. That's the one that like you would think that's not even real damage, it's just earth. So let the Torah write the field, b'loy b'yahanach, and you wouldn't have to say the kaitzim or the gadish. Why do you have to say all those? Just say field. So the Gemara says, tzricha, no, it's necessary. Tikaz rachman asad, they had it only written field. So havamina, so you would have thought to say, mashe besade in, that yes, what's inside the field, that's what is included in the mazik of Eish. In other words, you would have said that what the Torah is coming to say is regarding produce. Doesn't mean the field, it means what's in the field. Midachrina, but something else, meaning the land itself, then loy, that I would think, no, of course not chayv on just land itself. Kamash malon, that's why the Torah had to write kama explicitly, which is coming to tell you that, okay, we already know about the grain. Now what are we telling you with the word sada? Must be telling you actually for the body of the field itself, not what's in the field, but the field itself, even lechachanirah v'sichzachavanav, there's going to be a liability from the mazik of Eish. Nothing more continues with some Agadata, some homiletic teachings related to this pasuk that we just quoted. Amr b'Shimon bar Nachmeni, Amr b'Yenison says, "Ein paranus bala olam. Punishment does not come to the world. El bezman sharasham ba'olam. Only at a time when there's wicked people in the world. Now, but ve'ena mascheles el ben tzaddikim tchila. But the punishment begins only from the righteous. Shnei, like it says in the pasuk that we just quoted, Kiseitze Eish says when fire will go out, umatze kaitzim, and it finds thorns. So on that, the homiletic interpretation is, emasai Eish Yeitze, when does fire, which is ravaging, which destroys, when does punishment come out? When does the fire go out? Bizman shekaitze mitzuinla, when there are thorns that are found over there, which are allegorical references to the wicked people. But ve'enem aschelas elam natzadikim tchila, but it only begins from the righteous first. Shnemak, it says in the pasuk v'nechal gadish, and that the pile of grain was consumed v'achol gadish loynem. It doesn't say and that it goes and eats up, which is in the present tense of the pile of grain. Ela v'nechal gadish, rather that it had already eaten up the pile of grain, meaning shnechal gadish kvar, it already consumed. Meaning the righteous are already the first that have been punished before it goes out and destroys the wicked. A related theme, the Gemara says, Tanur Rav Yosef taught the following b'raisa. Mayin d'chsev, what does it mean the pasuk in Shemais that talks about by the Leil HaPesach when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, says, Ve'atem l'teitzu ish mi Pesach Beisa ad Boike, that you, the Jewish people, none of you should leave the entryway of your house up until the morning. So that explains the b'raisa. Since it was given permission for the destroyer to destroy, which was going around in Makis Bechairis by Chatzai Salayla throughout the night, so then the destroyer doesn't differentiate between righteous and wicked. So that's why even the Jewish people who were the righteous were not allowed to leave their home, because then the destroyer would ruin them. Not only that, actually the destroyer begins its punishment from the righteous first. Shnem, like it says a pasuk in Yecheskel, it says v'charati mimeich tzaddik v'rasha, they have severed from you the righteous and the wicked. We see that the righteous are mentioned first. So the Gemara tells us that Bachir Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef was teaching this braisa, he cried, kule hai nami la'ayin doimin, so much so that they're considered like nothing. In other words, are the righteous considered like empty, like nothing, that they're the first thing to be punished? So Amalei Abayah said to Rabbi Yosef, Tivuzuhu l'gabayu. It's a kindness, it's a goodness for them that the righteous should not have to see all the evil that's going to befall the people which are going to come. Like it says in Pasuk in Yeshaya, Kimipnei hara nesav tzadik. Because of the wicked, because of the evil, that's why the righteous have already been gathered in and have already passed away, not as a punishment, but as a goodness that they don't have to go through those terrible times. Again, continuing on this pasuk that we mentioned, the Gemara gives the following teaching. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, as we continue to Amud Beis, La'olam yikanes adam b'chitayv. A person should always enter in at a time when it's still kitayv. In other words, when the sun is still shining, he should go ahead and go into the hotel and spend the night, and he shouldn't wait to have his lodgings until it's already dark. And the yetzah b'chitayv, he should also leave in the morning only when it's already a time of kitayv, when it's already lit up in the world. Because Kitayv is a reference to the pasuk that says Hashem saw Ha'or Kitayv, he saw the light that it's good. In other words, so it's good for a person to get already, spend the lodgings, and only start the day when there's already Kitayv, when there's light in the world. And that's because of the Mazikin and the bandits which are there in the world. Don't wait till it's dark to go to sleep, and don't leave before when it's still dark, because there are damaging things out there in the world. Better do it at a time of kitayv. Shenem, like it says in the pasuk in Shemais that we just quoted before, the atem liseitzu ish mi pesach beisei ad baika, that you shouldn't leave the entry of your house until the morning. We see that at nighttime is a time of when there's a lot of destroyers in the world. Tanabon, we learned the brisa related themes about a person staying in his house and not leaving because of the harmful elements that there are outside. Dever beir, if there's a plague in the city, so kanis raglecha, gather in your feet, meaning go into your homes, into your rooms. So now, like it says in the pasuk we just quoted, that you shouldn't leave the entry of your house until the morning. There was a destroyer out there during the night of before the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, and therefore stay in your house. So to Vayimer, it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, Lech Ami, go my nation, boy b'chaderecha, come into your house, into your rooms, v'sagar delasach ba'adech, and close your doors in front of you. And so Devarim, it says the pasuk in Devarim, Mechutz to Shakal Cherev. On the outside, the sword is killing. Umechadarim Ema, and from the rooms, there's dread, meaning there's the, on the outside, there's the sword of the angel of death. And on the inside, there's the dread of the angel of death, but it's not out there and revealed like the sword is on the outside. So the Gemara is Maimba Ema. What are these two extra pasukim teaching us that we didn't know already from the first pasuk in Shemais? So that the Gemara says, because you would think just based on the first pasuk, that's only at nighttime, which that was what it was by the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But during the daytime, even though there's a plague outside, there wouldn't be a problem of going outside. That's what the next pasuk teaches in Yeshaya, that in old times during the Dever, you should go into your rooms and close your doors and stay indoors. Now, still based on that pasuk, and maybe you would say, but that's only when at least there's no dread on the inside. So okay, better be inside than outside where there's a plague. But when there would still be dread on the inside, even when you're in your houses, so kinafik yosef beini inchi bitzavsa be'amotvei ma'ali. So therefore you would say that, but when a person goes outside, at least he's with, has camaraderie, he's with other people, that would be better. Because even in, inside is also not so great, there's dread. Tashma, that's what it teaches in the last pasuk in Devarim, michutz teshakal cherev mechadorim ema. That on the outside the sword is bereaving, and on the inside there's the dread, which tells you that afakav te mechadorim ema, that even though in your own houses there's dread, but mechutz teshakal cherev, on the outside it's still worse, that's where the sword is out and revealed, and therefore I'd rather be indoors than outdoors. Moreover, the Gemara tells that Rava be'idin rischa, Rav at a time of anger, meaning to say that there was a plague, have a sacher chave, he would close the windows. And the reason is, the chesed, like it says, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, ki ala mavis b'chaloineinu, because death has entered through our windows, and therefore he would close that window to seal himself off from the outside world. Now, turn up on the window, Braisa, in contrast, when there's a rav ba'ir, before we're talking about a plague, which are diseases that travel quickly from one person to another person, when there's a rav ba'ir, when there's a hunger in the city, then pazarek lecha, then disperse your legs, meaning leave and go somewhere else. Shemak, it says, the pasuk in Bereishis says, vayihi rav ba'aretz, that there was a hunger in the land, vayered Avram Mitzrayim alagosham, and therefore Avram went down, sojourned into Egypt to live over there. He left where he was in Eretz Canaan. So to Vayim, we find the pasuk in Melachim Beis that talks about four men, four Jewish men that were Mitzrayim, and therefore they had to be outside the Jewish camp. So Vayim, it says there in the pasuk that they were saying amongst themselves, Im amarnu nava ha'ir, if we say about going into the city, v'harav be'ir, and there's hunger in the city, v'masnu sham, and we're going to die over there, and therefore it's better that we go somewhere else to the place of Aram, and then just die over here of hunger. Which again, the same idea that Pazir Raglech, go somewhere else when there's a situation of hunger. So the Gemara is my volume, what do we need the second pasuk for? So that the Gemara says, V'chite mahanamili, maybe you would say that when do we say this idea of Pazir Raglech when there's a hunger? Hechad aleka safek nefashis, when there is no doubt of danger to one's life, to the place where you're going to go and to sojourning over there, into exile, to go into that other place. But if the place where you're going to be pazrik lech to go to get food, there's a danger of life, they may, maybe I would say that no, don't leave the place of the hunger to go to a place where there's a possible danger to one's life. Tashma, that's what the second pasuk teaches, which we see at the end of that pasuk, that they said, lechu, let us go v'nifla al-machna Aram, and fall to the camp of Aram, im yichayunu nichya, that if we live, we will live. But as the pasuk there ends, they also said, "V'im yimusunu v'masna." And if we die, then we die at the hands of Aram. Better than go somewhere else than stay over here and die of starvation. So that's the same concept. When there's a rav, then pasuk lechi. Even though in that place that you're going to, there's a possible suffix nefashos. Tanarban, when the brisa, again, continue on deva beir, when there's a plague in the city. So the brisa says, "Al yahalach adam be'emtza derech." So a person shouldn't walk in the middle of the road. Because the angel of death is walking in the middle of the roads. The kivin the Yehovah lay reshus, because obviously since he was given permission, as we see that there's a plague, he's killing people left and right. So maskil ahead, he walks straight out open in the middle of the road. Now in contrast, when there's shalom be'ir, when there's peace in the city, al yehalach b'tzidei drachim, don't walk on the side of the roads. The kivin the less lay reshus, since the angel of death does not have permission, obviously people are not just dying, he actually conceals himself and he walks on the sides, so therefore don't walk on the sides because that's actually where he is during times of peace. So to turn up on the learn the braisa, deva be'ir, if there's plague in the city, al yikanes adam yoch le beis haknesses, this person should not walk in individually to the beis haknesses, to the shul, and that is in, especially in Talmudic times when the shuls were outside of the city limits, because that's where the angel of death deposits his tools. Now, says the Braisa, that's only, however, if the children are not learning over there, because in Talmudic times the children would learn in the shul. And that there is no minion of 10 people that daven there, but if you have one of those things, then there's no worry and concern of the angel of death and his kelim. Tarnabon and the Brisa continue on this theme about the Malach HaMavis. Klofim Baichim, if dogs are crying, Malach HaMavis Bola'ir. So that means to say the angel of death has come to the city. Klofim Mesachakim, if dogs are laughing, Eliyahu HaNavi Bola'ir. So then the prophet Eliyahu has come to the city. It says the Gemara of Hanamili Delespo Nekeba. That's only if there's no female dog amongst the dogs, because then the reason why they're laughing is actually because of the female dog and not because of Eliyahu HaNavi. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion from the halacha of our Mishnah regarding the mazik of Eish, of fire, and brings the following incident. Yesav Rav Ami Rav Asik HaMeid Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. There were two Tamid HaChacham, Rav Ami and Rav Asik, who were sitting in front of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Mar Amalei, one of them said to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Lema Mar Shemaitza, let the master say a halachic teaching. Mar Amalei, the other one said to him, Lema Mar Gadita, let the master say a homiletic teaching. So Pasuk Lema Mar Gadita, when he opened up to say a homiletic teaching, Vilei Shavik Mar. So the other one didn't let. Pasuk Lema Shemaitza, when he started opening up and saying a halachic teaching, Vilei Shavik Mar, the other master didn't let. So Amalei said to them, look, Em Shalachem Moshe Lamad Da B'Doyme. He says, I'm going to give you a parable of what this situation could be compared to. A man has two wives. One young wife and one old wife. Yelada, the young wife, Malakat Slay Levanis, was plucking out his white hairs. Zikena, Malakat Slay Shchairis. And his older wife was plucking out his black hairs because she wants a husband with white hair. Nimtza Karach Mekan Mekan says, therefore, the man ends up being bald from both. Doesn't have a white hair and doesn't have black hair because each one of his wives, who want the exact opposite, are pulling out the opposite type of hairs and you're left with nothing. So Amnam, he said to them, Ihach, if that's the case that you want this and you want that, I'll tell you a concept that's equal to both of you. That is, I'll show you one concept that has in it both a homiletic teaching and a halachic teaching, and both of you will be equal and you both will be desirable for what I'm going to teach you. It says, and this is related to the pasuk that we had quoted before, it says in the pasuk, Hiseitze eshu matzah kaitzim, that if a fire will go out and it will find thorns. Now, Teitze mi'atzma. What it sounds like, and this is going to be related both to the Agadic teaching and the Halachic teaching, sounds like that it goes out by itself. Now, so regarding the homiletic teaching, what it's, the concept is trying to say is that there was a fire that consumed the Beis HaMikdash, that destroyed Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. Now, although it's Hashem that did it, but really what the Pasuk is saying is that it really went out by itself. What that means is that we actually caused it because we ruined our ways. Now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees to pay, in other words, to restore it as if he had made the fire. That's what the Pasuk says. Really, it was Teitze Me'atzma. It went out by itself, meaning we had caused it. Shalom Yishalom Haman Basav Eira. However, the Pasuk says that the one who made the fire, as if it didn't go out by itself, as if he had made the fire, he will restore it. He will have to pay. So that's what he says. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Alayla Shalom Esav Eira Shabarti. I will have to compensate. I will have to restore the fire that I have made, as if Anihit Tzitzi Eish Betzin. I have burnt up Tzion, Eretz Yisrael, in fire. Shalom. Like it says, the Pasukin Eicha Beyatzes Eish Betzin, that if he lit the Tzion on fire, Batechli Yisrael Deserah, and its foundations were consumed. So although, again, it really was from itself, meaning the Jewish people had done it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking responsibility. And therefore, I'm going to rebuild it with fire. Like it says the pasuk in Zechariah, I will be for her a wall of fire surrounding, and for honor and dignity I will be inside of her. So that's the homiletic teaching from that concept. Now, Shemaitza, regarding the halachic component of that concept, is that Pasach HaKasev B'Niske, the Pasach opens up with the damages which were damaged with Mamayne, through his money. Because again, the same concept that Kiseitzai sounds like it went, the fire went out by itself, which is that as if the guy had lit a fire in his own backyard, and then the fire went by itself, which is his money, like when his ox goes by itself, the fire went by itself into his friend's yard. Now, but V'Sayim B'Niske Gufa, it concludes as if it was a damage which was done by his own body, as if he lit the fire himself with his hands. Because that's what the Pasuk says, Hamavre Esaveir, as if he did it. So how do we understand it? So the halachic concept of that is loy malach that comes to teach you that eisha mishum chitzav, that the mazik of eisha is different than many of the other mazikin, let's say his ox, where by his ox, it's his money. It's not him. He's liable for his money, but it's his money. In contrast to fire, it's as if it's his arrow, as if he shot an arrow which damages to a far distance. It's like he himself did it. Now, the halachic ramification of that is that actually to be liable for the dal dvarim, which are only applicable when the person himself damages his friend, the halacha is he's chayiv not only for the nezik, but the tzar, the ripui, the shevis, and the baishas. And that is what he's teaching, that the same concept as we taught in Nafchav Gimel Amud Aleph, that eishay uz mishum chitzav. He'll be liable for those dal dvarim too. It's as if he did it himself. That's why it starts off by saying kiseitze eish. On one hand, it's really the fire doing it by itself, but it's considered as if he's doing it, and that's why it says Hamavir es Havaira. Now the Gemara continues with a related incident that will come back to this halacha of the Mazik of Eish. Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, it says, Vayis'aved David Vayemid, that David desired, and he said, Mi yishikeni mayim ibar beis lechem asher b'shar, who's going to give me water to drink from the well that's in Beis Lechem, which is by the gate? So the story says, "V'yifku shleishes hagiborim b'machne polishtim," that there were three mighty ones who broke through the Philistine camp. "V'yishuvu mayim mibar beis lechem asher b'shar v'goyim," and that they went and they drew water from the well of Beis Lechem, which was in the gate. Now, on that the Gemara explains that when it's talking about something deeper than just the simple translation that he needed water. When it says asher b'shar, that they got the water from Beis Lechem, which was by the gate, it's a reference to the Sanhedrin, which they are the Ziknei Hashar. They are the elders of the gate. So, and therefore the Gemara says, Maikame Baile, what was this great question, which when we say, Ein Mayim Ela Taira, he wanted some Taira from the elders which were by the gate. Maikame Baile, what was he asking them? What was the halachic answer he needed from the Zikanim? Samar Ravam Rav Nachman, the question that he had for the Chachamim was the halachic concept of the liability regarding something that was concealed and was burnt by someone's fire. And that is Ikre Bihuda, Ikre Rabbanan. What he wanted to know was, who's halacha like? Is like Rabbi Huda or like the Rabbanan, which the incident was that the men of the camp of David had burnt a pile of grain of a Jew. Now, the question he needed to know the halacha for was that there were some kalim that were hidden inside of that. He had to know, is the halacha like Rabbi Huda, and therefore he's chayiv for Tam and Be'esh, or is the halacha like the Rabbanan, and therefore that he's potter? Upashtele, my de pashtele. And the Zakenim answered him what they answered him, which either one, it's either was like Rabbi Huda or like Rabbanan. Rabbi Hunamar, he says, it was a different question. Gedishim de sa'orim de Yisrael have, there was a pile of barley that belonged to Jews, which that's the reason why he's saying that is because the pasuk says, but he chalkas hasad the Malay sa'orim. It says over there in the parasha that there was a portion of the field which was full with barley. That's why they say that it was related to a pile of barley of Jews. Now they have metame polishtim, who there were Philistines that were hiding in those piles of grain. Now b'kumi boyle, the question that he had was mahu lahatzel atzmai b'mamachaveri. Is a person allowed to save himself through using and consuming his friend's money, which if a person's life is at danger, could he use someone else's things and thus damage it to save his own life? So therefore the question was, could he burn up their pile of grain from the Jews so to save himself by killing the Philistines that are hiding over there? So Shochali, the Chacham, answered him, Asul hatzul atzma b'mam chaver, the Allah says, you're not allowed to save yourself with someone else's money. Aval ata melechata, but you're a king. U'melech pirates, and the king could make a breach, he could break through the fence of other people's fields, lasses leiderich, to make a path for himself and for all the men that come with him. Whereas the Gemara Baba Basud of Kofim Bey says that the path that the king has to make, there's no measurement. He could do whatever it is that he needs to do, and therefore ve'ein meichem yodid, they don't protest what he has to do, and therefore you could go ahead and kill the Philistines by destroying the Jews' pile of grain. Rabbanan, and however the Rabbanan, the third interpretation, Vitam, and some say it was actually Rabbi Mamori, that Amr, they said, Gedishim disarin di Yisrael hava. Yeah, there was as the Pasuk seems to say, there was a pile of barley belonging to Jews, but there was a different question that he had asked. Because with Gedishim da adoshin de polishin, there was also a pile of lentils that were belonging to Philistines. Now, Kabi Mibailu, the question he was asking from the Zakenim was, Mao little Gedishim shall sa'urin di Yisrael. What's the halacha? Am I allowed to take the pile of barley that belonged to Jews, litin lefnei behemtei, to put it and to give food for their animals, for David HaMelech and his soldiers, amenas l'shalem gedishin shaladoshin de polishtim, with the intention to pay them back with a pile of lentils belonging to the Philistines that they're going to get away when they kill the Philistines and give it back to pay back the Jews who they took their pile of barley. So Shochalei, regarding that question, the Zikain responded to him, quoting a pasuk in Yechezkel. Chavoyel Yoshev Rasha, a wicked person returns the pledge, Gizel Yishalom, he pays back the theft. Which what that comes to teach is that Ava Pishe Gizel Mishalom, although he pays back the theft, but still you see the pasuk is calling him a Rasha who is considered a wicked person. So obviously you're not allowed to do that. You can't take with the intention of paying back from someone else. Aval Ata Melech Ata, what they told him was, but you're a king. But a king could make a breach through anyone's fence to make himself a road and no one could protest. And the same thing would apply in this case. You, because you're a king, could do it. So those are three interpretations in what this parasha was talking about. So that the Gemara asks, it's understood according to this last interpretation regarding that his question was regarding switching, that there were two piles of grains, one belonging to Philistines and one belonging to, meaning that they had lentils, and one belonging to the Jews. That's why we understand that on the one hand, there's one pasuk that we quote in Shmuel Beis that says, "Fatihisham chelka sasadim alei adashim," that there was a pile of, there was a portion of the land which was filled with lentils, because that was the part of the Philistines. Now, uksiv chadkra, there was also another pasuk that says in Divrei Yomim Aleph, "Fatihichelka sasadim alei asayim," that there was a portion of land that was filled with barley. So that makes sense because that's integral to the storyline that he had asked him, could he go ahead and take their barley from the Jews to pay back with us of the lentils of the Philistines. But according to the second interpretation, that his question was, am I allowed to burn up the Jews' pile of barley to kill the Philistines that are inside of there? What was the necessity of these two psukim? What is it teaching us regarding the pile of lentils if the question was regarding the pile of barley that the Philistines were hiding in the Jews' barley? So Amalach, so he would tell you, because the Havanami Gedishim Da'adoshim, the Yisrael, because they actually were also not just pile of Jews' barley, but they're actually a pile of Jews' lentils, Da'avmetam Bupalishtim. The Philistines were hiding not only in the Jews' pile of barley, they were hiding also in the Jews' pile of lentils, and that's why it says both of them, because that's what the storyline was. They were hiding in both types. So the Gemara continues and asks, Bishlam Lamandam Lamikle, we understand according to the second interpretation that his question was, could he burn down the Jews' grain to burn and kill the Palestinians that are hiding inside? So that's what we understand. The pasuk says in Shmuel Beis that vayisyatsev b'teicha chelka, that he stood in within that portion of the land, vayatzileha, and that he saved the pile of grain that it should not be burnt, because since it's forbidden to save oneself with another person's money, although the Sanhedrin said you could because you're a king, he didn't want to take that dispensation. So we understand that it says that he saved it, meaning he didn't let them burn it down. But according to the one that says the question was regarding switching it, what does it mean that he saved it? It wasn't going to be burnt anyway. And that the Gemara says, it means he didn't let them to switch it, to swap it, meaning to go ahead and use the Jews' barley for their animals to go ahead and give it back with the Pelishtim's lentils. That's what it means that he saved it, that he didn't let that switch go on. So the Gemara says, so okay, we understand the Pesukim according to these last two interpretations that we explained, either that the question was regarding burning the Jews' pile of grain with the Plishtim were hiding in, or regarding swapping it with the lentils of the Plishtim. So Heindich Siv Trei Krai, that's what we understand, that it says two Pesukim, one of Sa'im and one of Adashim, because again, either regarding switching it, or because that both were to be burnt with the Plishtim were hiding inside of it. But however, as we continue at the top of Samachal and Alf, Elamandom etam be'ishkem e'boyle. But according to the first interpretation, that his question was that we were fighting in the war and we burnt down some Jew's pile of grain, so we understand we got to pay him back. But there were hidden things inside of it, and that was the question: is it like Yehuda or like Rabbanan? Is there a liability on tamim be'ish or not? So according to that interpretation, ma'i boyle kroy. What is the necessity of these psukim? What is it teaching us regarding, A, first of all, barley and lentils? And what's it teaching us regarding Yatzilev, that he saved it? There's no saving. It's regarding something that happened regarding if they have to compensate regarding Tam and Be'esh. So the Gemara says, Amalach, he will tell you that first interpretation, Tam and V'chad Mahanach Kami Be'ele. You're right, there were two questions going on. One was regarding something that was hidden inside, are they liable? And then there was another one of the either one of these last two interpretations, either regarding swapping or regarding burning it, a future pile regarding killing the Plishtim that are inside of it. So the Gemara still asks, Bishlam Mandam Mahani Tarti, we understand according to the last two interpretations. Heinrich Siv, that's what says the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, V'lei Ova David Lishtaisam. A simile that the Pasuk is talking about, that when these people got the water for him, so to speak, the water, which really means the Torah that he they had gotten the answer from the Sanhedrin from him. So it says he didn't want to drink those waters. What does that mean? Amar, he said, Kiman de'ik Yisrur, since there's a prohibition, either that you're not allowed to save yourself with another person's money, or because, and that's regarding these two different interpretations, either because of, or because of swapping, which is that's still considered Russia, even though you're going to return the gzeila. But he was told, but you can have a dispensation because you're a king. On that he says, Leinichli, I don't want to use that. I don't want to do something which is not the most ideal and just use the dispensation as a king. So you understand what it means. He didn't want to drink that water. It means say he didn't want to take that dispensation. But according to the first interpretation, it said his whole question was regarding something that had already happened. Question was regarding what's the halacha of a hidden thing in the fire? Is it like Reb Huda, like Rabbanan? Samechli, let's see. Gemaruhu deshalchilei. What did the Chacham tell him? They told him a halacha. He just needed to know what it was, and that was the question that he had sent him. So Malay Ovid David Lishtaisim. So what does it mean David didn't want to drink the water? What does that mean? Why didn't he want to hear that halacha? All it was a practical halacha question if he has to pay back for the Taman or not. So I think Gemara says what it means in according to the first interpretation is Deloyaminu Mishmayu. Of course he took the halacha that was said to him and he followed according to the halacha. When it says he didn't want to drink the water that they brought for him, it means he didn't want to say it over in the names of the three who had gone to get the halachic response for him. Why? Because Amar David HaMelech said, Kach mukublani min beis dinah shel Shmuel HaRamasi. This is a tradition that I received from the court of Shmuel, the prophet Shmuel who comes from Ramot, that kol ha-moiser atzmei lomas al divrei Torah, whoever gives himself over to die for words of Torah, in Omer Dvar Halacha Mishma, you don't say over a halachic teaching from his name. And since these three people put their lives at risk to get this halachic teaching, so although, yeah, he followed the halacha, but he didn't drink the water, meaning he didn't say it over now in their names. And the Gemara concludes, it says there in the Pasuk, Vayasech Eisam LaHashem. And he poured it out, meaning he didn't drink it, he poured it out for Hashem. So the Gemara asks, Bishlem Elamandam Hanay Tari, to be honest, and according to the last two interpretations, mean to say, Mishum Da'ovah L'Shem Shemayim, because he did it for the sake of heaven, because since he realized that for regular people there's a prohibition, he didn't want to use the dispensation as a king to do something that's not so, what's called Eiska Halton, that's so ideal. So therefore, that's considered that he did it L'Hashem. Elamandam Amad Tamad Be'eish, but according to the one that says that the concept was regarding something hidden in fire, what does it mean that he poured it out for Hashem? So the Gemara says, as we just explained what it means regarding that he didn't want to drink it, is that minu mishma de Gemara. It means to say, when it says he didn't want to drink it, it means to say he didn't say over the halachic teaching in the names of the three who had brought it to him. Rather, it's that he said it Lashem, and he said it over in the name of the Gemara, meaning of this is the teachings that we have from Hashem, but he didn't want to say it over the names of those three people. Again, that same idea, because someone that puts his life at risk for the words of Torah, you don't say over the halachic teaching from their name.